Let me invite you tonight over the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. And then, Lord, once again being reminded where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never take that for granted, knowing that we are in your very presence. And Lord, may you prepare our hearts and minds to hear from you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Glorify yourself, Lord, through Northwood Baptist Church. Build us for your honor and glory, that we might truly understand the salvation that you've given to us and be a testimony and a witness of it to a lost and dying world. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title of the message tonight is found right there in verse 17. It's "The Abundance of Grace and the Gift of Righteousness." The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And so this is an important truth that God obviously has penned down in his word for us. And tonight we want to consider three truths for us as believers to walk in concerning God's abundant grace toward us and the gift of his righteousness. Two thoughts there: the abundant grace that God has given to us and the gift of his righteousness. So three truths and then a concluding question. And here are the three thoughts. When there is no law, we'll look at that. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then the last question, we'll look at that as we conclude the message tonight. And it all has to do with our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ after salvation. Do you remember when you got saved? It was such a simple thing to do, especially if you didn't know anything about the Lord. You just simply heard the message. Or if you've been in church and you've been hearing the gospel, all of a sudden the light came on and it made perfect sense. Yes, I am the one. There's really not a battle with the Lord Jesus Christ when the light is shown into our lives and we see that we're undone. We have nowhere else to go but to the Lord. And when those are battling with the Lord, obviously we come to this conclusion that obviously they're not receiving the truth. There's still a battle with their own righteousness, their own ideas, or their own thoughts. But when God gets our attention, there's nowhere else to go. When the disciples were leaving the Lord, he came up to the 12 apostles and he said, "Will you also leave?" And I think it was Peter that said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." May that be our motto as well. Where else would we go? There's no other place to go. And we surely thank the Lord for what he's given to us. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 12. And let's consider this thought: when there is no law, or the time, not where there is no law, but when there is no law. When is that time when there is no law for the believer? And that comes, obviously, we'll see here in just a moment, when we're saved and when we're living in the grace of God and in the righteousness of God. The Lord said that his commandments would not be grievous, that he would fulfill and bear fruit in your life and mine. Listen, it's important that we run a race with a purpose, right? That we don't fight in the air like we're not hitting anything. God wants us to fire on all cylinders. You wouldn't want a car that was half working, would you? If something was the matter with your car and it wasn't able to get you from one place to another, would you keep it and wash it and cherish it? Or would you say, it's got to be fixed, or I better get another one, right? And so likewise also in our walk with the Lord, it ought to be working, amen? When we walk with the Lord and we say we're saved, God ought to be working in our lives. And so let's not take this haphazard lie, really, that, oh, listen, it doesn't matter how I live. Oh, yeah, absolutely it does. If Jesus Christ, now this is not for salvation, But because of salvation, God ought to be making a difference in our lives so that the world might see, so that we might honor and testify of the grace of God in our own lives, but then also so that the world might see, hey, listen, this thing about salvation in the life of people, it's true because I can see it. I can see their lives changing. So look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Is that the truth? Absolutely. And that one man was Adam, the very first man that allowed sin. And by the way, had you been Adam or had you been Eve, you would have done the same thing. God gave them the freedom to make a choice, and they made their choice. They were sold a bill of goods by the devil, and they were told that, oh, listen, God's just trying to keep you from something even better. And they believed that lie instead of realizing that God had given them the very best. And that was a relationship with him and a walk in the cool of the day every day. And they forsook that because they began to lean to their own understandings and look to themselves instead of looking to the Lord. And we can do the very same thing. Amen. So he says, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. Listen, when there is no law, not where there is no law, but when, and that comes in the life of the believer, when grace is in the heart and it's thriving, we will do those things. Listen, you have heard that it's been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, I want you to know, grace says, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. And if you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder already in your heart. So if I'm really experiencing the grace of God, nakedness or there's even something, someone scantily clad, I'm not going to go ahead and look. If I see, I'm going to turn away, right? I'm not going to feed my flesh on those things. And by the way, it's not something that we can do of our own volition. It has to be us seeking the Lord and wanting to walk by his grace and by his power a holy life. And so this is the important part. You and I, as much as we would want to, we will deny the Lord without the grace and power of God in our lives. So we have to realize that. But then we have to come to this place to where we put our faith or our trust in the promise of God to fulfill his will in our lives. And that's where revival comes. But here's the thing. We have to be interested in that. That has to be a desire in our hearts to say, you know what? I am going to pursue the Lord. And these promises. I don't want to just be overthrown. I want to pursue the Lord and the promises that he's given to me to walk in those truths. And again, I want to remind you, the Israelites were freed. They were saved, but they never entered into the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the Bible says, why? And the Bible answers, because of their unbelief. They did not believe in the promises of God, and so they didn't receive them. Likewise, in our lives, we can hear the promises. We can hear about the promises. We can even hear the Apostle Paul tell us about all of those promises, and we can reject them. And say, I've got salvation. And by the way, believers that all they have is salvation and they're not experiencing the grace of God in their lives every day are miserable. Because that's not, listen, that was the only reason, and correct me if I'm wrong, the only reason why any believer would not pursue the promises of God is because they're not denying themselves. And they're believing the lie that you can provide a better life for you than what God wants to give you. That's the lie. That's what the devil told Eve. God's holding out on you. And we can look at the world and we can look at what people are doing and we can say, well, that's really what I want. I'm going to forsake pursuing the promises and the righteousness of God and the grace of God that I might go ahead and feed myself on the things that I want. And then I had one friend of mine tell me he professed to know the Lord as a Savior. And by the time he was 30 years old, he was a millionaire. He was doing very well in business. And I said to him, I said, I don't understand, because he was living a lifestyle that contradicted the life of a believer. And I said to him, I said, why are you doing that? Well, he says, I've already got the grace of God. I said a prayer some years ago, and I'm just going to have my mansion on this side, and it's okay if I have a little shack when I get to heaven. Well, there's something wrong with that idea. Does that display the love for God? Or does that display a love, I'm going to take everything for me now, and not trust the Lord for what he's going to give me, and not looking to the Lord for what he says is real life indeed, and not this existence without God that's really not a good life. So he says this, look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. Listen, but sin is not imputed or accounted to when there is no law. So when does that happen? Well, look at this, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Well, who is the figure of him that was to come? That's the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. It calls him the last Adam. Adam was the first Adam, and then the last Adam. And the reason why was because he was brought supernaturally into the world also. But he was the redeemer of Israel and the whole world. He was the one that was going to enable us. He was the one that was going to blot out the law for us when we would receive his grace and receive his righteousness. What is the purpose of receiving the grace of God? Do you know? The reason, I'm glad you asked, the reason why we receive the grace of God is his unmerited favor towards us. But that's not it. It's not just his unmerited favor, but it's also his righteousness. See, we can receive the unmerited favor of God, but you know what we need? We need his righteousness to our account, or we die in our sins. And so these two things are coupled together. You can't have the one really without the other, or really it's not fully functioning. We're not running on all cylinders the way the Lord would have us to. There's a problem. Listen, can we definitely say, even though Peter had some mistakes, can we not say that he loved the Lord? Amen. Did he wrestle with the Lord? He did wrestle with the Lord. But did God finally bring him to the place of understanding grace? He did. And why is that? Why is that? Because he denied the Lord three times. And tell me, did he not think that the Lord was done with him? He did. And by the way, the Lord knew that he thought the Lord was done with him. And that's why he said, tell the disciples and Peter also. He knew that Peter really needed to know that God was not done with him. And if God is really working in our lives, he's not finished. We should be growing in the grace of God, or there's a serious problem in our relationship with him. Listen, be reminded, the Bible says, Jesus said, many are going to come to me in that day and say, but Lord, Lord, I attended church and I tithed and I gave and I did this and I many wonderful works. And what does he say to them? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Do you think those people are shocked? They are shocked. But Lord, Lord, I don't understand. I mean, after all, look what I did, but never seeing what God is doing. I'm convinced, and you can correct me when we stand before the Lord, but there are going to be people that thought so much that they were saved and there was no grace and no righteousness in their life, and they didn't even care for it. Amen. And they're going to be shocked that they didn't even care for it, that they're not going to go to heaven. They didn't really possess that life where God continues that work. Listen, if you have a child and they're not eating and they're not growing and they're 5 years old, and when they're 10, they're still the same size that they're 5, would you not say there's a problem? Amen. And so likewise in our own lives, God says examine yourselves to see whether or not you're really in the faith. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be fooled. And by the way, it boggles my mind that people are unconcerned about a proper walk with the Lord, because that's what the Lord says his salvation brings. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we have people today, oh, it's just under grace, it doesn't matter. It's under grace. And they're one way in the church, and they know if they're honest with themselves, they don't match up their life with what's in the church and what's 6 days a week. And there's a problem with that. And so God says, I want you to know, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Notice this. But not, verse 15, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. In other words, it's different than the offense. The offense was earned, right? Okay, notice this. Verse 15, for if the offense of one, many be dead, listen to this, much more the grace of God, not the offense, but the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now, when something is abounding, it's not lacking, is it? When something is abounding, it's overflowing, it's overflowing. And so here we find they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. God's not playing games with this. So we see this free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, listen to this, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. That was Adam, right? But the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Okay, so here's what the Lord is saying. It's not just that you're justified, but that you're changed in his justification. Can somebody really give a witness of God's justification and be rampant, living in sin? That's not any kind of a justification. And in fact, I would dare say that individual ought to fear when they're living a life that is contrary to God's justification. If you've been justified by the grace of God, God is changing your life. Was Abraham left the same as an idol worshiper? No, God had changed him, made a new people out of him, didn't he? And so likewise, listen, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I am talking about a change that makes a difference. Listen, David was still known as a man after God's own heart, even when he sinned, because that was not his track record. Yeah, he made a horrible mess of things at that particular time, but still, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. And so let's not excuse ourselves because of the few shortcomings that David had. Because look at all the good things that God did in his life and through him for his glory. So notice this. This is the abundant grace and righteousness for the believer. Notice verse 16 again. Let's look at that. And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was not by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. This was God's purpose, that we were going to be justified. Yes, we're justified in his sight, but also in our lives. Why? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, listen, abundance of grace. Who are those? The saved. Those who profess to be saved, they have received the abundance of grace and something else, right? And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by, listen, not maybe, it will. If we have the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, he's saying we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We know that the power source is not ours, but Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that I've been preaching for almost 8 years, amen? It is the power of the Holy Spirit, or you have nothing. I promise you, when you stand before the Lord, that will bear itself out. Praise God, I hope you know it, understand it now, or you're deceiving yourselves and your life has nothing to do with God and it's powerless. And you're putting on a facade and God's not doing anything in our lives. If that's what we're just fooling ourselves, well, because I did this, I get to go to heaven. I hope that's not your testimony, because you can't do it by works. But if it's by the gift and grace of God alone, he's doing something and changing us and conforming and transforming us unto his likeness. And listen, I believe the Lord's getting ready to return. But I want you to know this too. We could stand in his presence tonight or tomorrow. Like that. Everything perks along okay, and then all of a sudden, we have problems. We had problems. I know of young people in their 40s and 50s that have had heart attacks and died. You might know some of them too, in their youth. And they thought, oh, listen, I've got tomorrow, I'm 30, 40 years old. We're not guaranteed that. So the time is urgent. Notice also here, verse 18. He says this, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto, listen, justification of life. Does your life show that you've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ? If there's no change, no. I'll just tell you right now, no, and know it now, because I will stand before the Lord and give an account. I'm telling you the truth. What you do with it is your affair. And I pray that if you're holding on to something that's shaky ground, that you go to the Lord and say, listen, there's a problem. If you think that God's going to wink at sin, then that's okay. You're fooling yourself. God's serious. Listen, He gave us His Son. You think that was just a little walk in the park for God? You think that was a little nothing that for us to think nothing of it? And go around and live like there's no God in our life. Oh, we're not murderers. And we're not, but are we a peculiar people? Are we the royal priesthood? Are we a holy people? Are we like the Lord that He's called us to be like? And by the way, just in case you misunderstood, I'm not saying for us to do that ourselves. That is a work that God does in us because of salvation. Because we've received His grace and His righteousness. Didn't we just read that a moment ago? One of two things. God's return is on the horizon. That's the truth. And it's surely, listen, this life is but a vapor. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's short. We'll stand before Him like this. Like this. My mind is boggled. Because I remember talking to my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, and I really thought they'd be here for the rapture. 30 years. I feel like I just met them yesterday. I can't believe all the things we talked about, they're seeing. They're in the very presence of the Lord. I'm not sorry for them at all. They're seeing things and are beholding things that they've believed all their lives since they were saved and serving the Lord. All right, last thought. The obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Look at verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Whose obedience was that? That was Christ's. So are we made righteous? Yeah, and we're being made righteous. It's not just... this is going to come together here. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered... that the offense might abound, listen, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what that's telling us? The grace of God supersedes our sin nature, if it's working. If that's what we're believing, that's a good indicator to let us know where we stand with God. And if we're not overcoming in this world, chances are, believe it or not, we're at the very least disobedient to God. And if that's you're okay with that, I would fear and tremble. I would fear and tremble. I will tell you this. Listen, this is the most important business on planet Earth. There's nothing more important. That will be a reality when every one of us stand before God. If it's not now. And God can make it a reality now for us. So, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded... grace did much more abound. Do you get that? Here's sin. Here's grace. Higher. Sin goes this high. Grace just keeps superseding it. You can never outdo the grace of God. But that does not mean, I'll just walk in sin. Because after all, grace is going to overpass it, right? No. Listen. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, listen, reign in your life and mine, even so might grace reign, how? Oh, did you see that? Through righteousness. No righteousness, no grace. That's just the way it is. You want to fool yourself? Have at it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Get mad at me all you want. I'd rather you get mad at me than God be mad at me for not telling you the truth. And then you get mad at me when you stand before the Lord saying, preacher, why didn't you tell me? I want my faithfulness is to God. He's called me to proclaim his truth to you. Now you do with it as you will, but I want you to know all of us are going to be accountable before the Lord. So, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. How? I think Jesus Christ and his Spirit are pretty important, or you'll never have his righteousness. All right? Here's the question. Those were the three thoughts. Here's the question. Here's the question. Ready? Shall we continue in sin? Look at chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then about all these wonderful truths that God has given to us? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So listen, understand this. We have been given the abundant grace of God and the gift of righteousness. If nobody proclaims it to God's people, see, people have been called to different occupations. My calling is to proclaim the Word of God so that you may know the Word of God. That's why God has given me the time and the ministry to study His Word, that I might deliver it to you, that you might know what to do. So here, that you might know what God wants us to do. And so here it is. If you're saved, then the righteousness of God is prevailing in our lives. If not, we're not running on all four cylinders. There's a problem. Take it back to the Lord and ask Him to show you how that works. Not for us to do it, but to ask Him, Lord, how does your righteousness work in my life? I believe I'm saved. I know the day I got saved, but there's something wrong about your righteousness in my life. So he says this, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does he say? God forbid. Listen. How shall we, the saved, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? If you're basking in sin, I got news for you. God is saying there's a problem. One of two things. You're not saved, and you ought to tremble, because you're going to split hell wide open. Or there's something wrong in your salvation, and here's the problem. What was Peter's problem? Why was he failing the Lord? Himself. Self, pride. That's the same reason you and I will fail. God resists the proud, and He's not a respecter of persons. Even if you're a child of God, you can incur the judgment of God for walking in pride. As a child of God, we'll get chastened. We'll get chastened. He's not playing games. You might have your idea of who God is, but His Word tells us who He is. So notice this. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? He's saying, are you ignorant? Are you uninformed of what you've been given? Listen, does somebody know when they're lying? They do, they should. Does somebody know when they're stealing? Does somebody know when they're bitter and when they're unkind? And when they're acting all the ways that God said, that ought not to be for the life of a believer. And by the way, you ought not to listen to it. That's the righteousness of God. I'm sorry, I have no part with that. And if they profess to be a brother or sister in Christ, you need to make that right with God. That's wrong. Because you do them no favors to sit there and listen to them and embolden them to continue walking on the path of destruction they're going to give an account for, and we'll give an account for not being the watchman that speaks up and says, that's wrong. God's not playing games. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And judgment begins at the house of God. So he says, listen. Verse 4, Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Whose life are we walking in? Ours or the Lord's? Are we walking in our old ways and not hearing the word of God, or rejecting the word of God and saying, I don't care, I'm just me. Well, God saved us from just me, to be like him. I'm telling you, there are believers that are going to be in for the shock of their lives. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's not talking future tense, that's right now. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Why is it still moving? There's a problem. That henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, take into account, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You remember what the Lord said? It's good that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter, the other one like me, that's the Holy Spirit. That's right. I want you to know the most important thing that you and I have as a believer is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he ought to be functioning and we ought to be surrendered to allowing him to do his will, to keep us from going our way that we might walk his. You know, we say we want revival. I wonder. It's easy. Oh, yeah, give me revival, Lord. Bless me. He says, then give it all. Surrender all. And pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Does Northwood Baptist Church want revival? Amen. Then we better get serious with God. You believe he's coming again? Do you believe we'll stand and confront our God? Do you think you got a little corner with the Lord? He's gonna excuse this. He's okay. It's under grace over here. Man, we're fooling ourselves. God says he's no respecter of persons. You know why? Because he's God. We ought to respect him. We ought to reverence God. And say, I dare not. Do you know why Joseph didn't fall for Potiphar's wife? Because the Spirit of God was working in his life. And he said, listen, he said, how can I do this sin against God? That was his first concern. What's ours? What's our first concern? Because all the things in this world are passing away. What are we saving up for? If we're not giving our all to the Lord. I promise you, the message tonight is one of love, that we might walk in God's ways and not ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for your word, your understanding that you give to us, Lord, as we seek you. You promised that if we would seek you, we would find you. Lord, may we not rest in ourselves. Lord, make us restless to seek for you and your love and your peace and your joy. And let us not be content until we're walking and following after you. That Northwood Baptist Church might experience a revival like we haven't seen in who knows how long, if ever. Bless again, Lord, as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.